It's the How Do You Get Weird Here podcast. Wait, I know we're going to have to take that back. Anyway.
Cut that out.
Exactly. I'm going to count it down. Hold on. All right. Ready? One, two, three. It's the How Do We Get Here podcast. It's Marwayne.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy, Gabe. How is everybody doing? Clearly, Marwayne has something going on in his fucking mind for him to forget the same thing that he does every single fucking time that we do this episode.
It wasn't so much forget. Like, things happen. Like, you know, life happens. You know, you stumble. We stumble, but we may
we fall down,
but we get up.
We fall down, but we get up.
Okay.
Okay.
Right? Let's get it.
For a savior... It's just a sinner
who fell down.
Who fell down?
But what they do? What they do?
They got their ass up, okay, and that's what you did. And I mean, we praise the Lord for it, okay. Praise. What's going on, y'all? How's everybody doing? Awesome. How's everybody's day been? Week been? I hope everybody's been okay, been well, been safe, been blessed. If you haven't been, I'm sending you positivity, sending you prayers. I'm sending everybody a big old tight old nice hug. Okay, if you've been through some shit. Okay, so what have you been? How's your week been? How's everything been? Let's talk about actually real quick before everything, because this is like the first time that we've been back since your birthday. So happy birthday, Marwayne. Woo! Well, it's no longer Aquarius season. It's actually Pisces season now. But you know,
it's been a minute.
You know, it's a little seven. How was your birthday party? You know, you had the roll bounce. Ah, skate. Hey, whoa. So how was the party?
Oh, it was a good time. It was a good time. Birthday was good. It was a success. I'm happy. 34.
Yes.
Know, feels like, you know, just moving and fast forward at this point.
Listen, how does 34 feel so far? It's been a month, literally.
Feels like 33, like a month ago. I can't really.
Feels like 33, but just another year.
Too much of a difference, you know. But, you know, aside from my birthday, you know, I mean, it was my son's birthday, which, you know, that's great. He's three now, like, so. That's different.
Right.
You know? Apparently, three is much different from two for boys.
Right.
Right.
So how so?
He's a terror. He really is. And it's not just me, because I talk to other parents, you know, and they're confirming what's I'm seeing and witnessing that he's.
What is Layden do with that?
He's like a Sour Patch Kid. Like, you know, 1 minute they're sweet and next minute they're sour. Like, or you know, or vice versa. Like. But anyway, like, and he's so big.
Mm-hmm. He's so tall.
He's three, but he's in like 4 or 5 year old know, clothing, and he's about the same size. And,
shout out to the mama feeding that good food.
Listen, he moves as such. You know, can't even pop him. One time popped him and he laughed at me. So it's like that doesn't even work. You know what I mean? Like that's a little man. So.
He's gonna be a football player, okay?
But aside from our birthdays, another big thing that happened, the Super Bowl.
Yes!
That's what I've been wanting to get back here to talk about.
Fly, like, Eagles, fly. They flew. And you know what happened? I lost a lot of fucking money.
Well, I told you that the Eagles was probably going to win.
I lost a lot of fucking money.
That's neither here nor there.
I'm really pissed.
Hey, listen.
I lost a lot of fucking money.
You should probably stop betting on things you have no idea about.
I mean, listen, I put my trust on cappers, and literally, they all failed me. The Chiefs ass the fuck beat. This was probably one of the, you know, I only be watching the Super Bowl or like shit that if I'm putting my money into it, I'm going to fucking watch it. And the Super Bowl, of course, also because Kendrick Lamar performed.
Right. I was about to say, I know that's why you would be watching.
He did fucking amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like, amazing. So, you know, I was definitely watching the Super Bowl. And them niggas beat. He beat my ass! They beat that motherfucker's ass.
Yeah. But I don't really care about none of that. I'm not an Eagle or Chiefs fan. The reason why I wanted to talk about it, because, like I said, I know that you would have been only watching it for the Kendrick Lamar show.
I was definitely watching
it.
I'm sure you had
an opinion about it, like, and as the whole world, you know, I mean,
First of all, everybody that didn't appreciate or didn't think that the Kendrick Lamar show was good, or it wasn't as lively or wasn't expected as, like, a Beyonce or anything like that, you guys are missing the point. And I actually put this in my story after the Kendrick Lamar show. I said, if you have something negative to say or something to say about this show, you are literally missing the point. And this is why we are in the place that we are in now. This is why that orange head ass fucking Gemini, who is, I'm a Gemini too, but we, that motherfucker giving us a bad fucking name. Okay, that's why his ass is up in there because of y'all.
He uses the evil twin more often than the.
He's a June Gemini, so okay, we're completely different.
Okay,
completely different. Yeah. May and June is we have May has a little bit more.
Anyway, I think analyze. So with the Kendrick Lamar show, ultimately, I think people are missing the point. He really killed a lot of birds with one stone. You know what I mean? Like
the red, white, and blue, the gang, the guys dancing,
the theatrics of, and the optics of the actual performance. But more than that,
the game over sign and the ends, like basically the
money.
America is a game. Like this whole thing is a game. Like Serena Williams being on stage, literally doing the fucking crip walk. And then on top of that, on the song that is dissing the nigga that was fucking playing her ass and then doing the crip walk because of the fact that she actually got disqualified.
No, she didn't get disqualified.
She didn't get disqualified.
No.
But I thought
it was frowned upon.
I was going to say, I thought she got disqualified. Yeah,
she didn't get disqualified. There was no fine or anything like that. It was just very much frowned upon.
Okay. She did it again. Yeah. And she going to do it again and again and again.
Yeah, so it was just, like I said, a bunch of birds being killed with one stone. And not to mention that, Kendrick Lamar, like, of course, they kept saying, like, oh, I wish he had, did a bunch of different songs, and rightfully so. Like, the fans, I'm sure, would have definitely appreciated it.
Yeah.
But, at the end of the day, he was, there was a whole thing with, his label and the whole money behind it. Mm-hmm. And that album, that GNX album, that was, like,
Did great marketing
and streams and shares and everything like that. Like, so him doing that, making that the exclusive, part of the show, that's just brilliance to him. So shout out to Kendrick Lamar for
doing this. And then let's also keep in mind that while people are complaining and saying all this shit about these shows, these artists don't get paid for the Super Bowl. Like, did you know that? They don't get paid for the Super Bowl.
It makes sense.
They are the ones that put the money out for these performances. Yeah. And the reason why that they do this is because of the promotion and because of the notoriety and all that. Hence why, like with Beyonce, when she did all that shit, that's when like she did the whole rollout of the Renaissance and all of that stuff. Right. So like you have to understand that Kendrick Lamar has always been a quote unquote woke artist.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So this is not something new to him for him to be making a statement, especially in this huge platform. Why the hell not?
Yeah. But at the end of the day, people are gonna, pick a side and I think it's bigger than just Kendrick versus Drake. I think, like I said, he just used that platform to, address some serious issues within the country that we live. So, a lot of people need to really wake up. And I think when you pick the side on that part, that's really kind of showing your true colors.
That'll make your decision on
what's going on. So that's what it is. So,
yeah.
But I mean, just catch us up on, what's been going on since we last met.
It's been a lot. What has been going on with me? Life has been life. And I done got a new car, y'all. My car done broke down.
Praise God. All right.
My old car done broke down on me. She passed away. Apples. The arms of an angel. But now we got a new car. You know what I'm saying? We got a new car. Her name. Yeah, my name is Susie. And my nigga love. You know, that's the name of my car now. Her name is Susie.
Okay.
But that's been going on with me. So we've been dealing with that. We've been dealing with a lot of personal life shit, with relationships and stuff like that. I'll just be trying to play the field and just try to manage stuff. And it's kind of, it'd be a lot, friend. but we're trying. but my life, and this week particular, work has been a lot too. But, we're managing. It's our busy season at work, so.
Okay.
We got a lot of stuff that we're getting in order, but life is definitely, I'm still blessed, so I'm not going to complain. So let's get started on our How It Started segment. Like everybody knows, we always start with a How It Started segment. And this is basically going to be a prefix. That's the right word, like prefix of the main episode. So main episode is basically going to be about like our 30s, you know, life in our 30s. Mara and I are obviously like, you know, two men that are in our 30s. Actually, fun fact, we were actually going to call our show like Life Be Life In. Because of the fact that it's a premises of like us in our 30s and how life is and all of that. So we wanted to talk about that. But in our How It Started moment and segment, we wanted to talk about what are our best moments so far in our 30s. So what is my best moment so far? I'm 33. I'm about to be 34. I would say so far the proudest moment for me and the best moment for me has been being able to stay on my own and living by myself in Jersey City as a single man without much help. Now, I will say, yes, sometimes I do get help from my parents every now and again. But however, majority of the time, and actually more times than less, I have been able to take care of myself and doing everything that I need to do to try to live my life, child, and stay the course.
Praise God.
Yeah, because honestly, I've been through a lot, even like with, you know, living through all of that of being able to sustain and living in my house and all of that. I've been through moments of close to eviction and close to things of that sort. That's when you got to call the, you know, hey, mom.
I was say, you saying close to eviction?
Yes, like
you're saying you've never been evicted?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm still living in my house, nigga.
What about that Lakewood spot?
Okay, so see, you like bringing up old shit, and that wasn't under my name.
I know it wasn't
that's none of my business.
The person whose name it was
still got evicted.
One of the persons. Whose name it was under, who did not live there.
That's none of my business either, because I didn't know nothing about that.
That's the crazy part.
You saying shit that don't have nothing to do with games.
Anyway, so, okay. But yeah, a good moment for you right now in your 30s. Gabe has been able to secure a spot
on my own for himself, under my name.
Praise God.
Under my name.
All right, okay. Because I'm about to say Florida too now.
That was not under my name. Let's be clear. Let's be very clear.
I get what you're saying.
In my younger years, there has been irresponsible moments of people that I have lived with situations that may have happened of us not being able to stay where we are staying no longer. However, my credit was not affected in none of these situations.
Okay. Hey, listen, that's awesome. That is awesome.
And I was able to move out and go somewhere else.
That's what's up. Listen, hey, you survived.
Okay. Survived. Who's saying that? Is that Diana Ross?
I don't think so.
Is it Tina Turner?
I want to say Donna Summers, but I might be wrong.
Is it Donna?
I could be very much wrong.
I
want to
look it up. I will survive. All right, so what's your favorite moment?
My highest moment in my 30s would be Layden, obviously.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, I mean, I had him at 31, which, you know, that's cool. It would have been real dope if it was 30.
30, yeah. You know? Yeah.
But
you should have shot the club up a year earlier.
You know, it is what it is. And it's your fault. That's how it happens.
That's how the cookie crumbles, you know.
But, I would probably say, yeah, having Layden. With that being said, I didn't understand how much different it would be having a kid at 30 plus.
Right.
Versus, because, you know, I had Leilani at 25.
Right. And I was going to say, we're going to get into that a little bit, too.
It's a different mindset.
It's nice.
That was my high moment. But, you know, it's whew.
Is it because of the fact that you are now in your 30s, do you feel that you're a little bit more experienced?
That could be part of it. Mm. You know, just, you know, with what I know about, you know, having a
daughter,
9-year-old, almost 10, mm. you know, But it is a girl, you know, like right. I said, it is a little bit different, you know, with boys. But yeah, just, I think being 30 though, it's not that, you know, you're more tired or anything like that, but.
But we be tired.
But yeah, like, you know, like.
Okay, because today drained like, me.
Okay. It's okay. Like, I wake up and it's like, wow, you need me right now. Okay, listen. All right. Listen, I got you. Today, okay.
Again, yeah, it's you. Like Groundhog Day.
Yeah. It never stops. So it's like, wow, I really got to take care of this person every day.
And
like,
it's going to be forever. It's going to be forever.
But I don't know. It felt so much easier with Leilani. And it's hard for me to say why. And I really don't think it has anything to do with the age. Mm. But maybe it's the fact that Leilani's still there and still needs to be taken care of because at the end of the day, she is 9. It's not like she's.
But she has a little bit more response. She's able to do specific things now because of the fact that she's older.
Of course.
So.
But you know what the thing is? Leilani has been a single child for so long.
Right.
So that transition from her becoming a single child into a, you know, a sibling. No, she was 6 when
Leighton was born. Yeah.
Okay. So she was well aware of what was going on, mm-hmm. but at the same time, for 6 years, it was just about Leilani.
Yeah.
And she spoiled, you know.
She definitely is my little stinker.
Leighton spoiled too, but you know, that's just the generation that we live in. Like, kids are going to be spoiled.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's not the parent doing the spoiling, somebody's going to come in.
A grandparent, somebody's going to do it. Yeah,
auntie, you know, sister, cousin,
I feel like, uncle. Though, with y'all dynamic though, especially, I mean, the way that you guys grew up, like you and your sister and all of that, your parents made sure that you guys always had the best threads, always looked good, always were not, it was, and for me, it wasn't necessarily spoiled, but I just felt like that you were always taken care of. And that's kind of how I feel like that you're teaching your kids and how you treat your kids. I don't think you're spoiling them. You know, I think that it's like the same way that you guys were raised.
You know what's funny? We really did not have like Jordans and Tims and Air Forces like that. They didn't. My parents, bro, we was rocking shit like Arizona. You know what I mean? Like we wasn't rocking designer shit like as kids. But you know, our parents didn't put us in no raggedy shit. Like, we were always.
It always looked the way that always, it came off. Right, it would we were look always good.
Dressed. You know what I mean? Right. Like, properly and it didn't really matter what the brand was, like, because at the end of the day, like, you know, we went outside and regardless of what brand of the shoes were, they were clean.
Right.
Because the way that we were just taught, like, yo, you dirty them shoes and you're not getting no more.
Right. So,
and at the end of the day, we were taught how to clean our shoes.
Jamar was actually one of the first people to actually taught me how to clean my Forces.
Which is crazy. But
I never knew how to clean my Forces. And he was like, he taught me how to take that fucking bleach, the fucking toothbrush. I was like, oh, okay.
Our parents taught us little things like that, like when we was younger. So, you know, and we appreciated what we had.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have to have much. So, cause we took care of our shit. You know what I mean? I think that was the main thing that they were trying to get across is, you know, it doesn't matter what you have as long as you take care of it.
And you
see the value in what you have. That's the important part.
Right. Of course.
You know, so.
I love that. All right, so let's get started in our how we got here segment. So we're going to talk about the ups and downs of what we go through in our 30s. So everything that we deal with emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, all of that. So one of the first things that, you know, because of the fact that, you know, I had just spoke on, you know, me being able to live on my own for, you know, for the past 3 years and how that's been a accomplishment for me so far. And I, you know, we manifesting that it was going to continue to happen. Honey, okay. We manifested homes and mansions.
There you go.
Going to have a fucking business person to pay my bills. Okay. But anyway, the first thing that I want to talk about is finances, because of the fact for me, finances is very major for me, especially going into my 30s. Someone for me starting in my 20s and, when I went to, you know, we discussed in our previous episodes when, you know, with me in Full Sail and how with the checks that I got and how I was making money blow. Okay. So for me, I feel like that in the beginning, in my early 20s, I was, extremely negligent of, you know, financing, how I can manage money, all of that, because I felt like that I didn't necessarily have too many responsibilities, while I definitely did. Yeah. But as I got older, I realized how much finance and credit and all of that stuff is necessary for you. My dad always, from growing up, because I feel like that nigga always saw that. He was like, this nigga's going to be, he's going to be a spender. So he always used to say to me, he was like, Gabriel, you have to learn the two S's, save and spend. You save and then you spend. You save more, but you spend less. Yeah. I clearly did the opposite for a majority spend of my more life. None. But I clearly did the opposite. But honestly, I feel like that as I've grown, especially with the situation that happened with me with my eviction, I think that was a pivotal moment for me. And then another pivotal moment was like my car accident as well, because I realized that I was spending a lot of money on fucking alcohol and partying and all of that bullshit. So I was like, I need to buckle down and realize, what is the reason of why I'm spending this money? Who am I spending it for? Because I started to notice that I was doing things for people. And I was trying to please people and spending stuff for people. Like if somebody needed something, I'm gonna do it for them. And then I then put myself in a disservice, because now I have adulting stuff, like my regular bills that I'm not focused on, that I can't really move forward on, because I was out here partying and out here in the club and spending all my money on hookahs and drinks. Right. So
trying to please other people. And I think I want to actually even use that, right, mm-hmm. to go into the other part about, you know, what's different from now, you know, in our 30s versus back in our 20s.
Yeah.
I can say, at least for me, I think that was a huge part of why I did what I did in my 20s.
Mm.
And it was worrying about other people and trying to please other people, right? And, you know, I made plenty of bad decisions.
Yeah.
And I think at the root of it all was, it was just trying to please somebody else.
Yeah.
That wasn't me. That, you know, like, at the end of the day, like, I mean, you know, you gotta, you know, you make your bed, you gotta lay in it, and it is what it is, you know, but, you know, when you know what's in your heart, mm-hmm. you're true to yourself, you know. And I think that's where what's been the major difference between me being 20 something and being 30 is like, you start really seeing shit for what it is.
You start following your gut.
Right. Right. Oh yeah. Oh, for sure.
You start following your gut more.
That inner voice gets real loud.
That hoe is loud as fuck. That bitch be like, oh, I'm trying to tell you something.
After 30.
I've been telling you for all these years.
Truthfully, that'd be the main reason. If you notice when people are talking to each other, a lot of the times people are like, huh? Wait, what'd you say?
Right.
It's because you're turned on low. The voice in that head, it's not that you're crazy.
It's moving.
But it's just so loud. I can't hear you. I'll be like, wait, huh? What'd you say? So that's, I think, been the major difference between being 20 and 30 is, mm-hmm. like, you know, that consciousness and, you know, making wiser decisions and knowing, you know, like I said, being true to yourself.
Yeah.
And not being so worried about everybody else.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I really don't go out. I mean, if I do go out, it's got to be, like, for a reason.
For a reason.
You know what I mean?
Listen, ass will stay the fuck. I mean, I was kind of like this in my 20s, too. I would stay the fuck home. But now, I will stay the fuck home. I go outside, yes, every now and again. I literally just went outside this past Thursday, and I was tired as fuck. I didn't come back home till 5 o'clock in the morning. I had work at 8. Literally, it was terrible the whole day at work. I was in my bed and I didn't do shit.
Okay. That's how it be.
But like, that's the thing. Like when we're in our 30s now, we have different purposes. I mm-hmm. have different things that I'm worried about.
Your energy is displayed in other things, more important yes. things. You don't have the energy.
I don't have the energy to party, be going out to back. Party and be out here doing the most. And then having to work at 8 a.m. the next day. Even on a Saturday, I don't have the energy to but go.
When you propose this question, I really thought to myself, like, I really, because it's not about even having a kid. Because again, I had Leilani at 25. I could remember times when Leilani was a baby. I could remember times going out.
Yeah.
Like, for real. Like,
yeah, we going used to go out outside.
And being all right, you know. But now?
Oh, yeah.
Bruh.
Jamar, I see Jamar sometimes. He be outside. That nigga be in the club. He be knocked out. Bruh. He be sleeping. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why? Take my friend home.
Tired. You ain't, but that's been a long time. Because let me tell you something.
Now, like, take my friend home.
You probably won't even catch me.
You see that video? Yep. I want to go home.
For real.
Okay. So. But yeah, like, for definitely finances, it's definitely been a pivotal moment for me. I'm now thinking of better things. I'm now thinking of generational wealth. I'm thinking of, you know, fixing credit. I'm thinking of getting better investments, all of that shit. This podcast itself is a business and an investment. Mm-hmm. Now we're in our 30s. We got to really take that shit seriously. Right. So, like, you know, we have to now put ourselves into position into how we are going to be able to afford and doing the things that we have to do to move forward and to be successful into where we are and where we want to be. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely wanted to discuss that. Another thing as well that we wanted to talk about is, you know, obviously relationships in our 20s and 30s is completely different. I don't really know. Well, I guess for you it could be different too, but you've been with the same lady for, you know, this whole time. But I would say, like, for relationships, you know, even in relationships with friends and in your love life as well, I think that's a completely different aspect, because it's, again, like with what I said with the whole pleasing thing. In my 20s, I feel like that I was a pleaser and I pleased a lot of people and I just did shit just to make people happy. Mm. And once I became in my 30s and I've realized of, like, things have to be, I've now been trying to move in a spirit of reciprocation, even in friendships, relationships, anything of that sort. And I'm like, I now need to realize that you need to give and be authentic in your giving, but also don't expect something back. But if you don't receive something, or if you don't receive something from the person that you really care about or you're giving to, then that should be like a red flag to me. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So I have been moving in friendships, in relationships, and all of that in that type of aspect, because I have lost a lot in, you know, as far as being friends and being loyal to people and being, you know, truthful to motherfuckers, and I get nothing. I could even tell you a situation that just happened this weekend that just happened, like, with me being so caring and so thoughtful to somebody, and they chose to sneak around and do, like, other shit behind my back and not receive everything that I'm trying to give to them. And I now have to, now I'm feeling, okay, well, you're an asshole. And I feel less than, because I'm like, okay, well, damn. Like, I thought we was moving this way, and now it's not the way that it's supposed to be moving. So it's very, you know, with moving in relationships for me, especially as a single man, it's very hard. And especially, you know, these niggas out here are fucking weird. So gay or straight, I don't know about the straight niggas, but, you know, I heard y'all niggas are weird too, from what my female friends say. But, you know, I feel like that it's just, I feel like that it has been a progress, process for me as far as navigating my relationship between my 20s and my 30s, because I now want to move into reciprocation. I want to move into love. I want to move into, you know, just being able to be authentic in all aspects, not only friendships, but in relationships too, you know? So what about you, friend, as far as for you, because of the fact that for both in friendships and relationships, I know for relationships for you, because you've been in your situation for such a long time, you literally have been in, you've been in your situation all your whole 20s, in a sense.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So how has that dynamic been between you guys in your 20s and where you are? Well, you in your 20s and where you are now in your 30s in your relationship. And then also in friendships as well, how has your mindset changed in that as well?
Well, I mean, you know, like I said, you got to think, you know, I feel like you have no choice but to mature, right? And that's just going to be with anything. So as far as relationships, you know, over time, I've been with her for over 10 years. I mean, from year one to year 10, I mean, you got to think, you know, we've been through some shit together, been through a lot. And just the things that you want to learn and try to, you know, practice is just communication, you know. And that's not to just say, oh, okay, just communicate, like just talk to each other. You know, it's a way that you talk to each other, you know. Talking from a place of, you know, understanding, right? You know, not just, you know, want to be heard, but, you know, really be genuine about, you know, what you're trying to, you know, say and the point that you're trying to get across, you know. Because I think a lot of times, you know, when you're with somebody for so long, you know, it's easy to get complacent, you know, and fall into a routine and, you know, not do the things that you, you know, did, excuse me, in year one, right? But, you know, go out on dates, you know, try to spice it up, you know, do whatever, you know, it is that, you know, you think, you know.
What you be doing what you be doing for your girl that be a little spicy?
We're not going to talk about spicy, but.
Well, what the fuck you be doing as a podcast? Let's talk about it.
No, I'm not going
to say one thing.
I'm not going to put her stuff out there like that. Like, you know.
What the fuck? No. I'm sure she would be okay with you expressing a small antidote of what you do as far as your love language to your lady. Well, you are being very surface with this fucking answer.
As far as love language, I mean, her main love language is getting something to eat. And that's the main thing. Like, I'm not bringing it to the bedroom, Gabe. That's not happening.
I'm not asking for all of that.
I'm not having that conversation with you, bro. Like, I understand.
Why don't you want to have this conversation?
We good on that. But that is her main love language, is actually food.
So where have you taken your lady as her love language, as the best place of please don't say that, because I feel like that you may say a restaurant.
What? I'm gonna say Longhorn. She loves Longhorn. That's her jam. Like, which is crazy because she doesn't eat steak.
So what does she eat there?
She usually gets the shrimp there. Yes, it's the shrimp dish that she gets that she really likes. And then she likes the margaritas there.
Well,
so
my friend is a tequila girl.
Yeah, she likes the margaritas there. So that's her thing. You know, she like to do that. So.
And then after the tequila, they get a little spicy. But, you know, he ain't going to say all that because he over here trying to be modest and shit. I feel like because of the fact that I'm not straight, he ain't trying to tell me what he be doing in the bedroom. But, you know, if he was with his regular boys, like his little straight niggas, he'd be like, yeah, I bust that bitch. You know what I'm saying? But he ain't got to say all that to me. I could have just, you know, but it's all right. I mean, I can explain to you what I be doing in the bedroom.
No, I don't care to know. No, not really. No. But again, like I said, after, like, you know, being with somebody for, you know, 10 plus years, you know, I can't sit here and tell you it's not hard to, you know, not do the regular things like going out to eat and stuff like that. But, like, you know, honestly, like, spice things up in the bedroom. Like, I mean, that's just.
You have to do some things, know, that are different. One thing that I have realized is that, I'm not in a relationship, but one thing that I have noticed is that you always have to do things that are different for the person that you are with, okay? Because them niggas, you know, people like things that are different. You know what I'm saying? We love different things.
That's good. That's
good. So what about friendships? Are you, what about you and your dynamic with friendships, friend? Has anything changed? I feel like with friendships with us too, because of the fact that both of us, like, we kind of still have the main friend group in a sense, but our dynamics of where we were in our 20s and our 30s now is a little bit different.
Yeah, because, you know, you're living your lives.
Right.
Like, you know, people have responsibilities and you're going to get pulled in different directions, you know. But if, you know, if there was a real bond or, you know, a genuineness to it, you know, exactly. At the end of the day, it, when you do see each other, it's nothing but love.
Mm-hmm. Ain't shit changing.
You know, you'll know if it's not genuine when you see each other, because then it's going to be like, okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's my thing about it. I don't think that's ever really changed from, you know, even being a teenager to now. You know, I've never, you know, really sweated that too much.
Yeah, I feel like that really with me, with my friend group, everybody that I'm cool with, I'm still close to. Yeah. You know, just like you said, life happens and everybody grows. Everybody has to go their different paths and everything like that. Literally, we all adults and we all, niggas ain't going to be partying all the fucking time no more. So, like, you're a father. We have friends that are whole homeowners. We got people that are business people. They got whole, like, you know, lives. Yeah. So, you know, we all, as long as we all stay in contact and we all communicate, I feel like that's all good. And, yeah, we just always will, the love is always going to be there. But what are some things that you've noticed that has been different in ourselves as far as where we were in the past and where we are now? Like, what are some good things and bad, like, well, I would say good things that you notice that are different for you?
Well, what do you mean? Like what things that we've grown out of?
Yes. Things that you've grown out of.
I think the obvious one, like, smoking. And it's not to say that we still.
Cigarettes or weed?
Honestly, both. But I was more so talking about weed.
You don't smoke weed no more?
No, I do.
Oh, okay.
Because you didn't let me finish. You just.
Oh, okay. Went, I'm sorry.
Right go in ahead. There and cut me off.
Go ahead. But
anyway.
Go ahead.
Not to say that we don't smoke, but I definitely think that the way that we used to smoke, at least the way I remembered it, because we used to smoke blunt after blunt after blunt after blunt, back to back to back. Like, I felt like what? We were like Snoop Dogg, Wiz Khalifa.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, and that was on a regular, you know,
And we were spending money too. That was some money that was spent, honey. Okay. Eighth a day.
Even if I had the opportunity, and it's not to say that, you know, I don't, you know, I'm never around that amount of weed because I just don't have the desire to do that.
Mm.
To sit there and roll up and back to back to back to back like that. Like I'm around people that are smoking. Like say if I'm smoking and there's a few other people smoking and they just keep rolling up. I'm not going to sit there and just keep smoking. Yeah,
Good for you.
Eventually, I'm just going to walk away. Like, cause
good for you.
But it's not even like, it's just, I'm not really interested in trying to get super duper high. Like,
good for
zoned
you.
Out. Like,
pass me the blunts.
Yeah, I know. Okay. You'll probably just sit there and smoke forever.
I will smoke it until it's down. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good off that.
Pass me all of the blunts. Because I'm not where he's at. Okay.
And honestly, and I even 31, depending on, you know, who it is, like, I'm probably not going to just take anybody's blunt.
Well, that's obvious. You can't do that. That's I was true. Actually just at a party yesterday and somebody tried to smoke my blunt. And I said, I don't know you. Mm. I said, he said, can I hit that? I looked at him so crazy. Like,
I'm surprised. I see people take all kinds of blunts. Sometimes it be from people you know.
Now
too.
I did take I did smoke this guy's pen, but that's however he was.
But let me tell you, attractive. I'm gonna tell you something, man. Be careful, 2025. It'll be somebody that you know too.
It could be late. Are you trying to tell me something?
No, I'm not.
All right. Honestly, okay. So for me, one of the good things that you're saying is the smoking. I would say for me, it would be the drinking. I would say that. When I entered into my 30s, that definitely was a decision that I wanted to make. However, while I started drinking briefly in going into my 30s, but I know that in my 20s and in my teens, a nigga was drinking down like a fish, okay? A water, okay? So I definitely feel like that that's one of the best things and best decisions that I ever made in my life was to decide to stop drinking and for me to just be better with myself. Yeah. I started doing better physically. I started working out more. Now my new addiction is literally the gym. Like literally the gym is now my new addiction. And I mean, I'm not going to call weed addiction, but I do. I still be smoking down. He's a, you know, I don't smoke back to back because, you know, I'm a 30-year-old that lives by himself. So, you know, we got to prioritize and finance stuff. So we about three a day. You know, if we on vacation, we smoking the fuck down.
Hey, that's ain't nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. You know, I'm not judging
or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, for me personally, I don't think I'll be blowing it down as much as I used to.
Right. So what are some things in your 20s that you feel like that you're going to bring into your 30s as far as some good things that you think that, like, you good aspects of yourself that you think that you're going to, that you are bringing into your 30s now?
I guess still being able to have fun. And what I mean by that is like being able to be, you know, silly and goofy, you know, especially for my kids.
Yeah.
You know,
because,
you know, I can't, you know, just be in adult mode all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, even though it's like, you know, you're working 40 hours a week, you know, and that's where you spend majority of your time. And even when you go home, like, you know, you still got that on your mind, you know, and you still have other responsibilities as an adult that you got to manage, you know. And then we got, you know, your own things that we were trying to do and accomplish, you know. But at the end of the day, you still want to reserve that time to have fun, you know, taking your kids to the park, you know, things like that. And just, you know, like I said, being present.
Yeah.
Right. Being present with your family and your kids. So that's something I hope that I can keep doing is being silly and funny. And my kids
find me funny. You are a silly guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is what it is.
You got some jokes sometimes. You know, you can make people laugh.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah. You know, everybody's being honest these days.
Yeah, you know, honesty is the key to success.
And you?
That is what they say.
What do you think you need to what bring am I from bringing? Your 20s to your 30s to, you know, be great?
Similar to you, definitely the fun and the personality, but that's always going to be me. You know,
yeah, I mean, you won best laugh?
I did win best laugh, you know. I can't even, because I be smoking so damn much, my ass be coughing now.
You probably try to do that laugh. And
I used to be able to do you remember I used to do the Woody Woodpecker laugh?
I think maybe I used to be able to do
the Woody Woodpecker laugh like so good. I'm not gonna try it right now because I'm sure it will probably stink. But something that I'm gonna bring into my something I have been bringing into my 30s and I'm always gonna bring is what is I would say loyalty. My loyalty and self care. I feel like that in my 20s, that's definitely something that I've learned is the dynamic of self care and self love. I didn't necessarily know what it fully was until my late 20s and my 30s. And I didn't realize and notice how important it was to really love you first before worrying about somebody else loving you and worrying about other people loving you and society and worrying about all of that. You have to focus on yourself and focus on your goals and focus on your mental health. And that's one of the things that I have been moving into my 30s. That's why I try to move the way that I move. I no longer go to specific places that I used to go to just because of that reason. And even for the loyalty aspect, I feel like that I think that's always going to be a factor for me because I think that's very big. In anything in life in general, you have to stay loyal in anything that you're in or anything that you believe in. If whether it's family, relationships, friendships, I think that that's major with me. I got that shit tatted on my ass. Okay?
So
that shit loyalty.
So because you took one of mine, the fun, right? You took one of mine, the fun. So I'm not going to take the loyalty one.
Right.
Because honestly, I don't really necessarily 100% agree with it because you could be loyal to the wrong thing, right?
Yes.
Or, you know, so I mean, we can go deep into that, but
we could.
You
know, but But that's true, though. You could be loyal to the wrong thing, but I feel like that you should have, I feel like, but that also goes into the place of where I was saying of self-care and self-love.
So that's what I will, so let me finish. Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say I'm going to take from you, though.
Okay.
I'm going to agree with you on that one, mm-hmm. right, is the self-care and the self-love, yeah. right? That's definitely something that I want to, you know, start doing more of and,
yeah.
and taking into to our 30s is worrying about, you know, yourself.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's not to say that you're being selfish, but it's to say that if I can't take care of myself, what do I look like taking care of you, right? When you're going on, when you're on an airplane and they're giving you the safety instructions, one of the instructions is when those masks fall down, make sure you secure yours first before you try assisting someone else.
Yep.
Because what's going to happen is if you go down trying to help somebody else out, now y'all both down. So I can't help you if I'm not straight.
That's facts.
Right? So that's huge. I think self-love
and that's something that a lot of people tend to, a lot of us tend to forget is that when you are in these predicaments, sometimes you got to, you can't forget about yourself.
Right.
Because even in, even as like, you know, sometimes as you're growing up and all of that, you tend to try to help others before you help you. You know what I'm saying? You pouring into all these people's cups, but then you are left empty and with nothing. You know what I'm saying? So you have to learn, we have to learn how to continuously pour into our cups and continuously overflow our cup. So even when it's time to pour into somebody else's cup, we should be already fine.
Right.
So if that person doesn't have the capability of pouring into our cup, that's okay because I did this thing from the heart to you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that, you know, to close everything out, I feel like that one of the good things that we should always remember for everybody that's listening, that's in your 30s or even in your 20s, going into your 30s, people that are in your 40s or anything like that, reminiscing back in the days and what you, what y'all 50s, went 60s, through.
50s, 60s, 70s.
Exactly.
No matter how old.
Everybody can relate to how you guys were in your
30s. My grandma, 82.
And how, you said who's 82?
My grandma.
Come on, grandma. Yeah. I have somebody, one of my years, his grandma just celebrated her 91st birthday. And oh, I said, praise God. The Lord. Okay.
Did you ever see that video of that lady on, I don't know, it was a video of a lady going around. I think she was 96 or 98.
She
looked good. She was on the mic at the church giving the testimony and was like, she was like, I'm 90, 96 or 98. And she was like, on my way to 100 because 99 just won't do.
I think
she was 99. Okay. I think she turned 99 because she looked good, though. She
I love
good.
That. Okay. Like,
on my Come way to 100 because 99 just won't do. All right.
If that ain't a church lady, why do church women have like the best fucking
sex? Mic drop. Boom. For real. Like, she.
Church women like, yeah. have the best sayings, bro. Like, it's ridiculous. But no, like, for all of us that are in your 30s or 20s, I feel like that one of the positive things that I really want us to close out with and saying is, like, continues to stay the course, y'all. Yeah. We got this. You know what I'm saying? One show is so funny. I'm now rewatching Insecure. You know the show Insecure with Issa Rae.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now rewatching it, and I love like rewatching shows that I used to watch like years ago just to get a new perspective.
Yeah.
And if you remember, Issa Rae was in her this was like a premise of her being in her 30s and all of that and growing up and how and the things that she's dealt with. And I'm looking at the show now in a completely different perspective from being someone that was watching in his 20s, now watching in our 30s, and I'm like, girl, like I could relate. The whole shit with her rent, the stuff with Lawrence, the shit with Molly, like it makes so much sense. But like you realize, and even throughout, like I feel like Insecure is a great example because throughout the seasons, you saw Issa's growth and how she chose herself in majority of the time. And she said, at the end of the season, she said, fuck that. I'm choosing me and I'm going to do what I want to do. And regardless of what anybody thinks,
right.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's one of the things that we should always lead with. Choose you, regardless of what anybody thinks or has to say, as long as you know that you are genuine, you prayed about it, you spoke to, you know, we Jamar and I are very spiritual. We about Jesus. So like, you know, as long as you prayed about it. You spoke to the universe, did what you had to do, spoke your affirmations, move forward and push forward with everything that you need to do and everything that you're going after. Obstacles and struggles are always going to come, but I feel like that struggles are lessons. You know what I'm saying? In some moments, I think that life lessons are there for a reason. And sometimes we got to just analyze it, realize why we put ourselves in those situations sometimes, or why the situation happened, mm-hmm. and just move forward.
Right.
You know? So yeah, friend. So what about you? What do you want to close out with as far as everything with everybody in their 30s and their 20s and everything like that? What you want to tell your kids that's going to be growing into their motherfucking 20s and 30s?
I think that was Vic giving us a 10, right? Yeah. Well, I don't know what I would want to tell my kids. Why would you put that on? See, this is why I don't like your fucking ass. This is exactly why, yo. I really
want to ask the deep questions.
No, it ain't
what you
no,
gonna tell your kids?
Ain't no goddamn deep questions. What the fuck? Like, you done just threw all that extra sauce on there for what?
That's what's needed. We want to know.
Cause, bro, my daughter is not even 10 years old yet. Like, bro,
she's
not even a decade yet, bro. Like, first off. Like, I'm not thinking about what my kids
what
is doing in their 30s.
What you going to tell my stinker right now for somebody that's in his 30s of how to move forward?
But, you know, it's funny how you had mentioned rewatching stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As probably nothing to do with that, but Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's actually my number one favorite movie.
I rewatched that the other day.
I love that movie.
Like, it's been years since I watched that mm-hmm. movie. And I watched it plenty of times as a kid. I might have watched it as a teenager, but it's definitely been a long time since I watched it and, like, really sat there and watched it as an adult. Bruh, I almost pissed my pants. I was cracking up.
Hilarious.
Like, Wendy's like, what is so funny? And it's like, bruh.
It is hilarious.
Like, you have to watch this. Like, it is, like, things that we missed as kids. Like,
rest in peace, Robin Williams.
Yeah, Robin
that
Williams
was,
one
he
of the
was
best.
A legend. Definitely that was such a great, oh my God. That is my favorite movie. All time favorite, number one.
So that's what I would recommend anybody as an adult rewatching something from your childhood.
Yes.
You know,
I love that.
It could really be anything. I mean, obviously, you know, if you're a parent, you know, you're probably watching kid movies that you watched as kids, like, you know, and believe it or not, they're not that bad. But
Barney still around?
They have a new version of Barney. Did I ever tell you about the documentary called I Love You, You Hate Me? Bro, let me tell you something. Gabe, let me tell you something. In the 90s, when Barney first came out, there was a whole group of people that hated Barney. Like, there was like a Barney hate group.
Like a KKK?
I kid you not. They would make videos hanging Barney, burning him a lot. Like, it was like crazy.
What Barney do to him?
It started with this guy who was jealous.
Probably a white man.
He was jealous of Barney. I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Of course.
He was jealous of Barney because his daughter.
It's because Barney was purple.
He would take trips or whatever, you know, work trips, and he'd come home and his daughter, you know, she'd run to his arms and blah, blah, blah. And one work trip, he came home and his daughter wasn't paying him no mind because
he was watching Barney.
Barney was on the TV. Barney was brand new, like, and he watched it with her and just did not understand the concept of a dinosaur just being so happy and so loving and there's no conflict and everybody's happy and everybody's just, you know, having an all right time. But and there's no real true conflict, or if there is a conflict, it's solved immediately. And he couldn't understand that concept.
So because of this,
so
he wrote
like a hate like letter like for a newspaper because he worked for a newspaper mm-hmm. or some shit like that. And yeah, and the group just grew and grew and grew with all these people who hated Barney. The lady that created him
created Barney.
Yeah, that created Barney. Right. She created him for her son when he was like 3 years old or something like that.
That makes sense.
Because the stuff that was on TV just couldn't grab his interest. Mm-hmm. And you know, it grew and grew and grew. By the time like this all, you know, the hate and all that shit, this kid was probably like a grown man at that point in time. He ends up shooting somebody. Yeah, It was
probably
it's
a black man.
It's crazy.
It's so much fucking. I'm seeing so much under these fucking. This story. This is about race.
It was a black man, but living up, but a black man played Barney.
I could see that,
and he was a gay man.
I know it.
And he got a lot of he got a lot of hate mail.
You know the guy
death threats. Like
Elmo was a gay man too.
Oh, you ever seen that video with the balsamic vinegar? Yo, I'm like, well, that's a big word for him. Balsamic vinegar?
I actually did not know that Elmo was a black man until like a few years, like when he actually came out. And like, well, not like came out, but like.
Well, you start. Listen.
Again, essentially came out.
The internet, bro, it just keeps growing. Like, information is just.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But no, for real, I think that should definitely be a real token for all of us that are in our 30s. Go back to like nostalgic moments and always remember those nostalgic moments that happened in your past that made you happy and that made you really feel like a kid again or made you feel good. You know what I'm saying?
And just, you know, as an adult, you're going to see it from a different perspective.
Yeah.
You might catch something that you didn't see before,
you know? I agree. I definitely feel like that even when you grow up, you definitely see things differently.
Right.
You, because of the fact that we experience so much as we grow, we evolve, we move. So as you should experience things differently and do things differently. So, you know, for all of us, like I said, that's going through and living life and doing what we do, continue to do it. You got this, baby. Okay? Okay? Ain't no stopping us now. We're on a move.
Ruben.
Hey, oh, Lord.
Ruben.
Ain't no stopping us now. We're on a move.
All right, that's it. I'm not singing with you.
All the songs your ass was singing in all these other motherfucking episodes, you ain't want to have a karaoke with me, bitch?
No, I don't feel like singing.
Anyway. All right, y'all. That's going to be it. Thank y'all so much for joining us. I will see y'all next time. Make sure that you guys like, subscribe, comment, do what you got to do.
Peace and love.
Okay? Make sure y'all follow us. And also, shout out to this painting, okay?
Yeah, what was the painter's name?
What was her name again?
Uzo Art.
Okay?
Uzo Art. Shout out to them.
If you saw the new art, we have a new art, okay? Yeah. Come on. We got
the same artist from the painting before. Yeah.
You're going to see amazing new paintings every episode. Not every episode, but every now and again, there'll be a new painting by Uzo Art. Make sure that y'all follow her.
Yeah.
And we'll put her name in or Instagram in the description line as well. Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. Thank y'all so much. That's going to be it. Peace out. Come on with the watch.